Good morning, Trinity.
Good morning.
Welcome to each of you, and we're glad to see each of you here today. Special welcome. Just would like to say there's a couple cards. The blue one is for you to let us know you are here. That will be picked up right after the offering or with the offering. The other one, the yellow one, lets us know if you have any hospital or prayer requests. Just fill that out. Give us your name and address and all that stuff. So we want to make sure that you have that filled out. Those will be collected right after scriptures. And by the way, if you notice a special glow around the Malenki pew there, it's because they now have a granddaughter. So another granddaughter. So we're glad to have you back, and we're welcoming each of you today. God has been good to us. We have Pastor Lawson is visiting us from Fort Myers, soon to be from St. Petersburg, Russia. He's going to be our guest preacher today and is going to be talking with us about his new ministry that he's been called to, and we look forward to hearing his message. So God's blessings. Please stand and welcome each other now at this time. Make our beginning this day in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Beloved in the Lord, let us draw near with a true heart and confess our sins unto God our Father, beseeching Him in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to grant us forgiveness. Our help is in the name of the Lord. I said, I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord. O Almighty God, merciful Father, I, a poor, miserable sinner, confess unto you all my sins and iniquities, with which I have ever offended you, and justly deserve your temporal and eternal punishment. But I am heartily sorry for them, and sincerely repent of them. And I pray you of your boundless mercy, and for the sake of the holy, innocent, bitter sufferings and death, of your beloved Son, Jesus Christ, to be gracious and merciful to me, a poor, sinful being. Upon this, your confession, I, by virtue of my office as a called and ordained servant of the word, announce the grace of God unto all of you. And in the stead and by the command of my Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, I forgive you all your sins in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. The Lord be with you. Let us pray together. Lord Jesus Christ, so govern our hearts and minds by your Holy Spirit, that ever mindful of your glorious return, we may persevere in both faith and holiness of living. For you live and reign with the Father and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. So be seated.
The Old Testament reading is from the book of Isaiah, chapter 51. Give attention to me, my people, and give ear to me, my nation, for a law will go out from me, and I will set my justice for a light to the peoples. My righteousness draws near, my salvation has gone out, and my arms will judge the peoples, and coastlands hope for me, and for my arm they wait. Lift up your eyes to the heavens and look to the earth beneath, for the heavens vanish like smoke. The earth will wear out like a garment, and they who dwell in it will die in like manner. But my salvation will be forever, and my righteousness will never be dismayed. This is the word of the Lord. The second reading is from the book of Jude. But you, beloved, build yourselves up in your most holy faith. Pray in the Holy Spirit. Keep yourselves in the love of God, waiting for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ that leads to eternal life. And have mercy on those who doubt. Save others by snatching them out of the fire. To others, show mercy with fear, hating even the garment stained by the flesh. Now to him who is able to keep you from stumbling and to present you blameless before the presence of his glory with great joy, to the only God our Savior, through Jesus Christ our Lord, be glory, majesty, dominion, and authority before all time and now and forever. This is the word of the Lord.
Holy Gospel appointed for this Sunday is found in the book of St. Mark, the 13th chapter, beginning at verse 24. Many of us oftentimes wonder what it will be like when the Lord returns and what the surrounding circumstances would be like. Jesus' disciples, none other, also had such questions. Jesus speaks, "In those days after the tribulation, the sun will be darkened and the moon will not give its light, and the stars will be falling from heaven, and the powers in the heavens will be shaken, and they will see the Son of Man coming in clouds with great power and glory. And then he will send out the angels and gather his elect from the four winds, from the ends of the earth to the ends of heaven. From the fig tree learn its lesson. As soon as its branch becomes tender and puts out its leaves, you know that it is summer that is near. So also when you see these things taking place, you know that he is near at the very gate. Truly I say to you, this generation will not pass away until all these things take place. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will not pass away. But concerning that day or that hour, no one knows, not even the angels in heaven, nor the Son, but only the Father. Be on guard, keep awake, for you do not know when the time will come. It is like a man going on a journey, when he leaves home and puts his servants in charge, each with his work, and commands the doorkeeper to stay awake. Therefore, stay awake, for you do not know when the master of the house will come. In the evening, or at midnight, or at the cock crows, or in the morning, lest he come and suddenly and find you asleep. And what I say to you all, I say to all, stay awake." This is the gospel of our Lord. You may be seated.
As your pastor was saying, the called missionary, title they gave me is theological educator, but I am the called missionary to serve at the seminary in St. Petersburg, Russia. And as we progress, I'll tell you more a little bit about that. But I've been preaching from John 3, the first 17 verses, which read, "Now there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. And this man came to Jesus by night and said to him, 'Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher come from God, for no one can do these signs that you do unless God is with him.' Jesus answered him, 'Truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God.' Nicodemus said to him, 'How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter a second time to his mother's womb and be born?' Jesus answered, 'Truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Do not marvel that I said to you, you must be born again. The wind blows where it wishes, and you hear its sound, but you do not know where it comes from or where it goes. So it is with everyone who is born of the Spirit.' Nicodemus said to him, 'How can these things be?' And Jesus answered him, 'Are you the teacher of Israel, and yet you do not understand these things? Truly, truly, I say to you, we speak of what we know and bear witness to what we have seen, but you do not receive our testimony. If I had told you earthly things and you do not believe, how can you believe if I tell you heavenly things? No one has ascended into heaven except he who descended from heaven, the Son of Man. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whoever believes in him may have eternal life.'" John tells us that Nicodemus comes at night to ask Jesus a series of questions. And during the conversation, he asks, "How can a man be born again?" And Jesus responds that a person must be born of what? Water and the Spirit. In his answer in conversation with Nicodemus, Jesus gives us a kind of this peek into inner workings of the Holy Trinity. He gives a clue to the mystery of the God who made the heavens and the earth, the God who revealed himself to Moses in a burning bush, the God who led Israel out of captivity into freedom, the God who made himself concretely known and knowable in the incarnation of his Son, Jesus Christ, the God who blows his Spirit breath through his church and raises the dead to life. This is what I want to talk about, is this raising the dead to life. Only God can raise the dead to life. Only God can raise unbelievers into believers. Only God can do that. And what I've been called to serve is a missionary with the Evangelical Lutheran Church of Ingria. Now, the Ingrians are ethnic Finns who have been in this area of northwest Russia near the Finnish border, Estonia, since at least the 15th century. The area was originally controlled by the Swedes as part of their great Baltic Empire, and they encouraged immigration to this area by their Finnish subjects with encouragements like all government promises, no taxes, and no conscription. And they settled this area, and when Sweden became a Lutheran country in the 16th century, this area also became Lutheran. So Lutherans have been present in this area of Russia since the 16th century. In 1611, they formed their congregation, their church body, and they are now more than 400 years as a church body there. Prior to the Russian Revolution in 1917, they had 32 churches. They were 300 schools that they ran. They had a high school. They had a teacher training academy. They were one of many groups of Lutherans that were in Russia, in Russian territories prior to the revolution. A lot of people don't know, there were several million Lutherans actively living and worshiping in what we know today as Russia, from the area I'm describing with the Ingrians to the Volga Germans to the south, with all the Baltic territories, the Ukrainian Lutheran Church. There were millions of Lutherans in Eastern Europe. But the revolution happens. And along with that comes purges and persecution and struggles for nearly 80 years. The Ingrians, well, not just them, but many of the churches lost their church property. Whatever they owned was either torn down, turned into a storage shed. In fact, if you get a chance, I have a picture of one in the back on our display board. was torn. They were turned into storage sheds for farm equipment or whatever the government wanted to. In one case, they even turned one church in St. Petersburg into a public swimming pool for party members. If it wasn't changed, it was burned down and torn apart. My predecessor, who taught at the seminary, told me that when he got there, he noticed that there were three crosses in a field. And finally, after being there a year, he finally asked the question, because it got the better of him, why do you have the crosses in the field? And a student told him, that's where the church used to be. The government came and burned it down. And because they knew we were still worshiping there. Then we went back and we were still worshiping in the shell, and when they found out, they removed it. So we marked the spot where the altar stood in the church, and we would go out and worship in the field. The Ingrians, because they were ethnic Finns, were deemed enemies of the state, and 80,000 of them were executed by the government. And three times that number were rounded up on Sunday mornings and put on train cars and sent to Siberia. They were forced to worship in exile. In exile and in secret. And a lot of times you hear this conversation with the Russians when they talk about the old days. They talk about the kitchen faith. And the kitchen faith was that they would teach the kids the catechism, the mothers and the grandmothers in the kitchen, and they would baptize their children in the sink. They would worship in the fields, like I mentioned. They would worship in secret in basements or in homes, with always the possibility if they were discovered, they could be deported into the interior, or even worse, find themselves another number on a chart. 1950s, they were allowed to return from exile to their ancestral homes. And in the 1970s, the government, as part of their political propaganda, allowed two churches to be built for them. But as I said, it still wasn't freedom of religion, because every Sunday there were two KGB agents sitting there taking notes. But 1991 comes along, and the miracle that none of us who grew up during the Cold War would ever realize, communism collapses, and there is no more Soviet Union. And out of that comes the Russian Federation, and then President Boris Yeltsin enacts a series of laws that give back freedom of religion to the people. He allowed them to proselytize openly. They were allowed to print freely religious material without any censorship from the government, and all of their church property was returned. They were able then to organize 10 churches, and in which they had about 5,000 to 6,000 members there in 1991-92 to get started. What was thought to be dead by the world was now alive. There was a little remnant of people that God had preserved, and now it was allowed to flourish and bring back the word to the people there. God had preserved his people during the troubles. The Holy Trinity is about a living relationship. Communion within God and with God. And the Father begets the Son, the Spirit proceeds from the Father and Son, and God is never alone, even when he is alone. Together as one, the undivided Holy Trinity creates, redeems, makes holy each divine person doing his personal thing, yet they are always one. And you are baptized in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and you enter into that triune love and life of God. The Father is your Father. Jesus the Son is your brother. The Spirit is your advocate, your guide, and your friend. You're a member of God's family, and you live in that triune communion with God, with the Father through the Son in the Holy Spirit. And it is out of this living relationship that all Christians have, is that we find ourselves with this relationship and communion with God, that we find ourselves in a relationship with the Ingrians through our synod. Because I want you to understand that this call and this mission is not something that is away from you. It is part of what we do as the Missouri Synod. When the Ingrians were putting back their church, and I mentioned this in the last service, think about this. What would you do that after 60, 70 years, this church building was finally yours to worship in, and you had to open the doors again. How would you train your pastors? How would you provide your church workers? And this is what they were faced with. The last seminary-trained pastor, Lutheran pastor, was executed in 1937. And here they find themselves in 1991. They are truly, in all essence, new Christians trying to reestablish their old church. Now, Pastor Doug and I, we have an advantage. We have decades of tradition and practice of pastoral ministry that we can draw on. I can call an older pastor and say, hey, I'm having a problem with this. Is this worth falling on my sword at the church council over? Or do I let it go? And I can get that advice freely. I can go to other resources. I have a resource. But they find themselves not much different than what we would say going in Africa or Asia. They're a new generation of believing Christians. Some of them I know personally have said that prior to any type of formal education, the pastor said, 5 years before they were going to seminary, they were practicing atheists. Then they saw the light. So they realized they needed help. They needed help to form and to train and a resource for their pastors. So they saw and looked around what was going on. And one of the legacies of communism, unfortunately, is abortion. And Russia has one of the highest abortion rates in the world. And we had put together a women's clinic in St. Petersburg to address this issue. Not in affiliation with them. But they saw our mercy work in their community. And they saw we weren't putting any special regulations or procedures on them or anything. We were just serving. So they looked at what we were teaching. They looked at what we believed. And they were like, this is what we want. So they asked, and we entered into a relationship to help train and provide the knowledge base for their pastors, their deacons, their deaconesses, their cantors, their church organists, and that are required to take a certain amount of theological education. Because they didn't want a relationship where we came in and did all the work. They didn't want us to come in and send our pastors to fill their pulpits. They didn't want us to go in and send our missionaries in the streets. They wanted us to help mentor and guide so that they could go out and proclaim the gospel to their neighbors as they saw their responsibility to the gospel. They now work in an area that is equivalent, they go from Murmansk in the north all the way down to Odessa in the south, as far east as the western edges of Siberia to the European border. It's equivalent to the size of taking everything east of the Mississippi in the United States and saying, this is now we're going to reestablish churches. From those initial 10 churches, they've grown to 85 congregations with a number of preaching stations all across the region. They now have about 100,000 members across that area of Russia, a Lutheran membership. They are looking to rebuild those churches that they had where they still have not had a pastor to serve in that community, and they're also looking to reestablish new churches because they see the goal of the gospel is and spread, because they understand what it's like not to have the gospel in your community. Like all things in our Christian faith, it's a birth from above. The old creation is shot dead. Flesh gives birth to flesh, and that's your birth from below. What makes you a child of Adam? That's that birth that gives you birth to a sinner. We all know about sinners. Any one of us who has kids knows that we never had to train our kids to what? Lie to us. It just comes natural. Just like I would ask you, how many of your parents taught you how to lie? It just comes natural. It's our nature. And it's not that birth, though, that gets you an entry ticket into the kingdom of God. It's the opposite. It's not that God isn't involved in that birth. Every birth is a result of God's word. Be fruitful and multiply is what he told our ancient parents. But that makes children of Adam, not children of God. Your first birth delivers you to death. It's that second birth that brings you to life. You must be born again, Jesus says. Born from above, a spiritual birth through water and the Spirit. It's your baptism. It's God giving you life. And it's like the wind, Jesus says. You hear it, but you can't see it. You see its effects. You see the leaves rustling through the trees, but you can't get a hold of it. And that's how it is with the Spirit, with everyone born of the Spirit. You must hear it and believe it because you can't see it. John tells us that Nicodemus finds himself confused with Jesus' answer. And he says, how can this be? This teacher of Israel, this rabbi, this Pharisee, this member of the Jewish ruling council, he's not a slacker. He's not a dummy. But he doesn't understand. And the problem is understanding goes back to his first sentence. He doesn't yet see Jesus for who Jesus truly is. He sees Jesus as this holy man, this teacher, this God who's been gifted by God to perform miracles. But Nicodemus doesn't grasp that paradox before him. This man standing there is God in the flesh. The second person of the undivided Holy Trinity. God of God, light of light, true God, eternally begotten of the Father. Nicodemus is staring at the Word made flesh, the one who would be lifted up for the life of the world. He is the Son, sent in love to save the world by His dying and His rising. And Nicodemus has no way of knowing or believing. Yet, somewhere, somehow, the Spirit, wind of God, blew on Nicodemus. The water, Word, and Spirit had their way with him. And I say this is because Nicodemus was already a believer the day Jesus died. A secret believer, but he was still a believer. And he believed that Jesus was the Christ, the very Son of God. Because along with Joseph of Arimathea, he arranges to bury Jesus. You have an advantage, though, that Nicodemus didn't. He was standing on that threshold between the old and the new. He was standing between the prophecy and the fulfillment, and he saw the signs, but the pieces of the puzzle weren't yet in place. That's why John mentions that he came to Jesus at night. He was still in the dark, so to speak. That light of Easter hadn't yet dawned. The Spirit had not yet enlightened him. You, though, live entirely in the new. You know that Christ has come. And you believe Christ has died and Christ has risen from the dead. Christ now reigns. This riddle to Nicodemus is perfectly clear to you. To be born from above by water and Spirit is to be baptized into Jesus. If anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old is gone, the new has come. And the Spirit blows like the wind wherever he pleases. You can't bottle up the Spirit. You can't put in a box, you can't label him, you can't categorize him. You can only enjoy that refreshing heavenly breeze. The Spirit has blown on you and in his good time and place as it pleased him. And it pleases him that you believe the word he brings to your ears, that you trust that Jesus' death and life are your life, your salvation, that because of Jesus you can say, Our Father. This is what's happening in Russia. The Spirit is blowing across the region. I'm a second career guy. I spent 9 years in the Air Force. Four of those years were in Europe during the end of the Cold War, late 80s and that. And I was stationed with an A-10 unit. And our primary purpose was to stop the potential Soviet attack that was supposedly going to come from East Germany someday, somehow, and that. Never came, though. But I went on. I finished five more years in the Air Force, and then I went home and worked a little bit in public affairs. I'm originally from the San Francisco Bay Area. As I used to, I say, I'm from San Jose, and I know the way. It's funny. That's a generational joke. Anyone younger than born after 1980 doesn't know Dionne Warwick and Burt Bacharach, which is unfortunate. So anyhow, I end up going back in 1997. and I go to, I'm at seminary, and when I'm there, the first 20 students from Russia arrived to become pastors. And I got to know some of them and chit-chatting, heard their stories about, like I said, some of them had been atheists until 4 or 5 years prior to going on to becoming a pastor. So one day I'm sitting there, though, and I'm talking to a student, a Russian student, and we're sitting at lunch, and he asked what I do, and I shared, and eventually came out that I had been in the Air Force with A-10s in the 80s. And he stops, and he says, I was a Soviet officer with those tank units at the same time you were there. And here we are, probably 7, 8 years later, and we're both breaking bread at a seminary studying to be pastors. Spirit blows where the Spirit wills. So why am I here? I'm here to ask for your support. I ask that you pray for me, that you keep us before God, and that the mission is successful, that we help inform generations of pastors in the years to come so that they will, that the word will continue and flourish there. I'm also here to ask for your generosity. The Synod does not pay for missionaries to go overseas. We have to raise 100% of our funding, and it is only through your generosity that we can go from here in Florida to 8 time zones away in St. Petersburg. So I ask that you prayerfully consider to walk with us and support us in this mission. There was a flyer I know that's been handed out. Some of you may have that, which has ways that you can do it. We also have a display board in the back that shows pictures of the church where the seminary, if you look at the yellow, that's the actual seminary in the village outside St. Petersburg in Koltushe. But there's pictures of the churches they've been restoring, in worship and so forth, and the one with the swimming pool in the 60s that's now back to a church. But we also have a clipboard there. If you're interested in following us and hearing what we're doing and where we are and I promise I won't send pictures of, I had dinner and this is a picture of my dinner. But we'll give you an update of how the mission is going, what's going on, and you can sign the clipboard and put your email there. And that if you don't have email, just put your address down and we'll still put a newsletter in an envelope for you and put a stamp on it and send it that way. But I ask that you prayerfully consider supporting us. Because you don't have to understand someone to be in a relationship. Most of us are in relationships with people we don't begin to understand. So how much more it is with our God? You don't have to understand the mystery of that undivided Holy Trinity. Only confess and praise Him. Blessed be the Holy Trinity and that undivided unity. And let us give glory to Him because He has shown mercy to us. Amen. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus now and forever. Amen. Please stand.
Of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, His only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell.
The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. You may be seated.
Savior, we do come before your throne of mercy and grace, giving you thanks and praise for your Spirit stirring in our hearts and minds, for blowing into our life the gift of faith itself, a faith that trusts in you and the promises that you've granted, the promise to forgive, to love us, to be our Heavenly Father, the one who will instill in us a faith that rests and assuredly hopes in the blessed hope of Christ Jesus as Lord and Savior of our lives, and also in the working of the Holy Spirit to create, sustain, and grant faith. Lord, in your mercy, Lord, we also give you thanks and ask your blessing to be upon Pastor Dana Nehring, who's hospitalized, to be with Peggy Trapp, who's also hospitalized, as well as Robert Finney. We place these, your servants, into your hands, asking your will to be done in their lives and to bring healing. Lord, we ask that you would also bless the marriage of Eva and Ricky, and that you would continue to bless them all the days of their life and in their union as husband and wife. Lord, in your mercy. Lord, we also pray for Pastor Lawson and his family as they move to St. Petersburg. May you bless them and be with them and sustain their ministry through the resources and gifts
and prayers of your people. We also ask, Lord Jesus, that you would help us as we look at ways of supporting their ministry here also at Trinity. We ask, O Lord, for a spirit of generosity and for a sustaining hand. O Lord, may you bless Pastor Lawson with seeing those faces of people whom he will serve with, the team that will lead this charge of educating, tutoring, and mentoring. We ask, O Lord, that you would bless him with students who will serve to be the next generation of pastors, deaconists, as well as cantors. Lord, may you bless this ministry and bless him in it. May you be with his family as they begin this role and work in this most precious place. May you restore unto your church there the joy of their salvation and bless the work of Pastor Lawson. Also, we ask your blessing upon our ministry here at Trinity as we too seek to go and to make disciples. Through the ministry of our church and of our school, may we too educate, train, mentor, and bring forth a new generation of pastors and teachers. May we too be those who will be enrolled in giving out the discipleship of witness and faith and testimony in our neighborhoods, at the checkout line, and in our everyday life and vocation. Lord, may you bless us as we share the wondrous good news of our own salvation with those who don't have it yet. Lord, in your mercy. And now, O Lord, hear the prayers that have been requested this day.
Lord, the congregation lifts the following prayers to you. We pray for Anna as her dog died this past week. We also pray for Dan and Liz for safe travels, honeymoon, and home. And we pray for Jonathan for his travels during interviews. Lord, in your mercy.
Hear our prayer. And together we now pray, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. The Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks unto the Lord our God. It is truly good, right, and salutary that we should at all times and in all places give thanks to you, Holy Lord, Almighty Father, everlasting God, through Jesus Christ our Lord, who out of love for his fallen creation humbled himself by taking on the form of a servant, becoming obedient unto death, even death upon a cross. Risen from the dead, he has freed us from eternal death and given us life everlasting. Therefore, with angels and archangels and with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify your glorious name, evermore praising you and singing. Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, in the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had broken it, he gave it unto his disciples and said, Take and eat. This is my body which is given unto death for you. Do this in remembrance of me. Likewise, in the same manner, he also took the cup, and when he had supped and had given thanks, he gave it unto them, saying, Take and drink ye all of it, for this cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is given and is shed for you, for the remission of all your sins. As often as you drink it, do this in remembrance of me. The peace of the Lord be with you always.
Amen.
This cup which we bless, is it not a participation in the body and blood of Christ? This bread which we break, is it not a participation in the body of Christ? O taste and see that the Lord is good. Come, for all is now ready.
Thank you.
benediction of our Lord. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. And may the Lord lift up his countenance upon you and bring you his peace. Amen. You may be seated.
This is on. Join us next Friday, the 30th, Trinity's next community outreach event at the City of Orlando's Tree Lighting. It's at Lake Yola. We have this every year about this time. Trinity's gift to Orlando neighbors is a message that Christmas is still about Jesus. It's not just about spending. And some free fun and activities and snacks will be there. We need representatives from Trinity to help, to serve as volunteers with the ornament making, with helping make costumes in the photo booth, and with greeting guests. So sign up now if you can in the link through your Trinity weekly email, or contact Shonda at the church office. This event is about creating opportunities to have conversations with people where we can share the true meaning of Christmas and tell them about Trinity. Next, Advent begins next Sunday, the December 2nd. We'll start our Wednesday Advent series of services at 12, 10, and 7 p.m. Pastor Doug will have a three-week series planned on the characteristics of the Christian faith. The lunch hour is like 12, 10 to 12, 15, so hopefully it can be contained within your lunch hour if you're downtown. Or join us for a free meal at the Fellowship Hall between 5:30 and 6:45 prior to the 7 p.m. worship on Wednesdays. And you can check your Trinity weekly for menu plans. The next announcement is that on December 10th at 6:30 p.m., it's a Monday, we have a regularly scheduled voters meeting in the sanctuary right here. Please join us to hear about the things about Trinity for the first half of this fiscal year. There's important news to share, as always. So, and I believe the last slide is that events representing our Advent and Christmas services are going to be on Trinity's Facebook page. If you're on Facebook, I can't confess that I am, help us reach others by sharing those events and post on your own page. The more we do share these events when we're on Facebook, the more likely people outside Trinity family are to see this invitation to worship and find their way one step closer to Jesus. So we'd appreciate if you did this. Do you have anything else?
Yep. Thank you, Brennan. I really appreciate you stepping in, stepping up. You're always a man that's willing to do that. I'd also like to thank Pastor Lawson for being with us today, and he's going to actually be in the back shaking hands, but also explaining a little bit more if you'd like to enter into a further dialogue with him about his new ministry and his family. You'll meet two of the children. And there's one that's homesick and a wife that's being very attentive to that. The garbage bags, that sounds like a weird announcement, but I'd like to make sure that you're aware that our youth here at Trinity are selling garbage bags as part of a fundraiser, one of the ways in which they can help support their efforts to get up to Minneapolis for the National Youth Gathering. And that National Youth Gathering is where about 30,000 of our youth have been attending in years past. If you've ever been or had one of your other children go, we certainly don't want to miss this young group of people, and we want to send them off with a Trinity support, and a way to do this is to buy some garbage bags. So thank you for your attention to that. And last but not least, it is so nice to have our once-in-a-while choir. And downstairs here, and they just sang their hearts out to the Lord. Could we give them a round of thanks? And I just am so glad that you guys did that today. Thank you. It's wonderful. And may God richly bless you throughout this week. And we've got a great worship for you next week, and so we hope to see you again then. And also, please stand for the closing hymn. Go in peace and serve the Lord with joy.
Amen.